General Electric has been in the news a lot this week. The iconic company just fired its CEO, this guy named John Flannery. He'd only been in the job about a year, during which time the value of GE stock dropped in half.
Yeah, that'll get you fired.
Yes, that'll get you fired.
Yeah, but in fairness, GE's been a hot mess for quite a while. And in the last 20 years, for example, its market value has dropped by about 80%.
But for the 100 years before that, General Electric was killing it. It was a shining star of the U.S. economy. GE, the light bulb company, started by Thomas Edison in the 1880s. It does not get more iconically American than GE.
It was like the original power company.
Rob Cox is the global editor at Reuters Breaking Views. He says the little light bulb maker just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it started making more and more and more things.
Basically, they found a way to harness power and distribute power. And then over the years, they decided, well, hey, let's create stuff that creates demand for power, right?
As can be to live better electrically.
If you want real entertainment, the best place to find it is in front of a General Electric Black Daylight Big as Life television set.
This is the wonderful filter flow washing system introduced and perfected by General Electric.
When you buy a General Electric fluorescent lamp, you're assured of top quality.
To be so free when you live better electrically.
Yeah, so if you think about the washing machine or you think about radio or television or appliances and refrigerators, all that stuff, you know, it creates demand for the electricity that in a sense coursed through the wires of Thomas Edison's great creation, right?
This is kind of like inventing the bathing suit and then also inventing sunscreen.
And then inventing the swimming pool so you have somewhere to wear it.
Right. GE invented all kinds of things, like the X-ray machine, and in so many different fields. A GE engineer made the first radio broadcast in 1906, and the company was one of the biggest and most innovative in the world.
GE's amazing growth continued for decades. In 2001, GE was as big as the almighty Microsoft. And lately, investors have not been able to sell GE stock fast enough, and the company is selling off parts as fast as it can just to try to stay afloat. This is The Indicator. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, GE, what happened?
Right? And also, what exactly do they do now anyway?
They're not making podcasts, I don't think. They might actually.
They did make a podcast. Podcast. Of course they made a podcast.
Stay in your lane, GE.
Electrically, you can have more time for fun and pleasure. Family moments you will treasure. It's an opportunity to live better electrically.
This message comes from The Indicator's sponsor, Capital One. Capital One's indicator is zero because they offer accounts with zero fees or minimums. And they offer accounts that can be opened from anywhere in 5 minutes. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A. Support also comes from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform. Invest in high-growth companies of the future, innovating in clean water, renewable energy, and medical breakthroughs. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/indicator.
20 years ago, General Electric was a mighty American company. It was enormous, and it did basically everything.
It owned NBC, it made train engines, jet engines, wind turbines. Also, it was big in the healthcare business. It was big in the oil business. GE was enormous. It had a huge stock of assets.
And that is where the problems began. Jack Welch was CEO of GE in the 80s and 90s, and he saw all of these assets and saw an opportunity there. Rob says that is when General Electric got into the financial services business.
And General Electric basically leveraged its extraordinary industrial assets to go out and become essentially a bank.
Because it was GE and had all of these assets and businesses to borrow against, GE could borrow money for a really low interest rate, almost nothing. So banks would give GE that really low interest rate. But GE was also lending out money itself, and it could charge a much higher rate than the rate that it was borrowing at. So it could keep the difference between those two interest rates as its own money.
Arbitrage.
Yep.
And of course, the riskier the borrower, the higher the interest rate GE could charge. And by 2001, when Jack Welch handed the company over to his successor, Jeffrey Immelt, GE was venturing way out onto the financial services limb.
What about all those Polish people that are now coming into the market for mortgages? Oh, well, we could go out and, you know, create a business or buy something in Poland, and we can start lending money to people getting mortgages. We could do it with credit card borrowers. And so they basically went into these businesses that were really had nothing to do with their core competency. They had nothing to do with what Thomas Edison had envisioned all those years ago.
And Rob says GE did not properly protect itself.
They didn't have the chops. They weren't a bank. They don't understand how to extend credit the way that a bank does. And even banks, let's not forget, a lot of them got in real trouble, right?
Oh, yeah. The financial crisis happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody could pay anybody back. And in GE's case, it lost billions of dollars in loans.
It was a huge hit, but they pulled through, and as they started limping forward, Rob says, CEO Jeffrey Immelt was just champing at the bit to show investors that GE was getting back to its roots. It was out of the banking business. It was back to basics. So in 2014, GE bought a big chunk of the power business from a French company called Alstom for about $10 billion. Rob says it was just an epically bad investment. GE started losing money on the deal almost right away.
It didn't properly vet it. They didn't really do the numbers on it. In their desire to put the financial crisis behind them and return to their industrial roots, they rushed into a deal that really has now put them into a bigger problem.
GE's been in kind of a tailspin. And while most of the banks and companies that were hit so hard during the financial crisis have recovered, and then some, Rob says that GE just has never really gotten its mojo back.
A lot of companies were hit during the financial crisis, but most companies have more than
Recovered,
yeah,
right?
They've recovered.
And you can look at look at their peers, whether it's a Goldman Sachs, a Morgan Stanley, or in the financial side, or a Honeywell, or a Danaher, any of these kind of industrial conglomerates. They've all done that. Everyone's basically everyone has outperformed General Electric. and this is not just being selective as sometimes journalists or analysts can
right.
be and say, oh, well, let's just choose the peak and then look at the low. This is just like, just throw the dart at any time on the chart, and you'll basically find it's just lurching from crisis to crisis.
Yeah, so John Flannery, the CEO, has been let go. He's been replaced by a new CEO, a man named Larry Culp, who has a decent track record. He ran a big conglomerate called Danaher, and the company thrived under his leadership. Investors so far seem to like him, and GE stock has even gone up a bit since the news of his hiring. Rob says it is hard to know what the best course is for GE now. It's been selling off a lot of businesses, like its oil business, its freight engine business. GE even put the light bulb business up for sale.
What is their business now? Like, what is it? What is GE now?
Yeah, well, GE makes power plants,
okay,
gas turbines, wind turbines. So that's still a core business, and that is going right back to the Thomas Edison days, right? The big, they do have. Don't forget, they make jet engines. They are the world leaders in getting us up and around the world, and they're extraordinary at that. They also have a pretty amazing healthcare business. Which does things like imaging, technology, diagnostics. That's a pretty big and world-leading company.
But even though GE has been through the ringer, Rob says he thinks it could have a bright future if it just focuses on the turbines and the healthcare and the jet engines.
They're never going to be the company they were, but actually maybe that's okay. Every day they do for investors exactly what investors expect. They make some money on that, but not some extraordinary return. They're not going shooting for the moon. And I don't think that's a terrible place for a company to be, actually.
No.
Right? I mean, and they'll be focused. They won't be, fiddling around with, hey, well, gosh, look what we can do here with this extra, with this cheap money. Let's go into Polish mortgages or Hungarian credit cards. They might just be great again.
Hey everyone, an earlier version of this episode said that GE had invented the jet engine. That is not accurate, and we regret the mistake. Though earlier this year, GE's aviation division did test fly the biggest jet engine ever, which is pretty cool. Anyways, yeah, sorry about the mistake.